Ben Bloom from the Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton. I'm the health promotion coordinator for outreach and community engagement.
Okay. How did you first hear about HPV, Ben?
When I started working in sexual health, one of the main parts of my job is training, and I train new volunteers. And part of that training is talking about all types of STIs. And one of the things that I had to learn a lot of information about quite quickly was around HPV, because I never had any kind of personal connection to HPV. I didn't know anyone that had been diagnosed with HPV or had genital warts or anything like that. It wasn't really on my compass.
Yeah.
So it was something that I had to learn about, and obviously through learning about was something that I was then able to see that, you know, people are able to get vaccinated in this country for girls at school age, and it's not offered to boys comprehensively. So that was my first kind of introduction to the HPV world, and how I begun to learn about it.
Are you concerned that there's quite a high level of ignorance around HPV amongst guys?
I am concerned about that. It's more concerning where the only time, for example, that we would talk about HPV within our clinic in Brighton is to find out whether people have had a vaccine or not, to find out if men have had that vaccine or not. There would be no other way or reason, really, for us to kind of bring it up. If somebody was saying that they had symptoms of genital warts, for example, or something like that, we would refer them into the full sexual health services for them to get checked and obviously to get treatment if they need it. But certainly I'm worried more about the fact that people might be more concerned over HPV and the genital warts rather than the strains of HPV which will cause cancers.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, something that people need to be much more mindful of, men especially.
Yeah. So what would you message about HPV would you like to get over to the sort of guys who come to your clinic?
I think everyone who is sexually active, every man who has sex with men who is sexually active, if they are able to access a HPV vaccine, then they should absolutely do that. In Brighton, they've been running a really successful pilot, which is still ongoing, which is offering the HPV vaccine to men who have sex with men 45 years old or younger, which... is problematic in itself, because obviously lots of men
Are over 45.
Exactly. Many men are then not eligible for that, and so it means that actually they need to find another way to access that vaccine.
Mm.
And of course, if they have to pay for it, then perhaps if that's something that they can do or find other ways to be able to access it, then that's something that I would certainly recommend that they do, because it's invaluable. It's an invaluable kind of tool in our vaccine armoury.
You've been vaccinated yourself, haven't
you? I have, yeah. I was really lucky to be able to get the vaccine free from within the pilot scheme that they were running. And it was really easy. It was a painless vaccine. They reminded me when I needed to go back for each of the vaccinations. And it was pretty straightforward. So I had three vaccines altogether. One, and then 3 months later, then the second one.
Yeah.
And then 3 or 4 months later, the third and final one. So it was nice to, you know, it was easy peasy.
Yeah.
I just went to my local sexual health clinic to do that, and they, you know, happily administered it.
Yeah, what do you think about the fact that men generally have to pay for the vaccine?
I find it tricky to think about the fact that men will most likely have to pay for the vaccine if they really want it, simply because the fact it's so expensive.
Mm.
Even for somebody of means, £400 or £500 is a lot of money to share on a vaccine that, you know, doesn't necessarily have any guarantees it's going to protect you against something that you might never have been at risk of anyway in the first place. And certainly, you know, even for that's for people who do have some sense of means. For people who have no means, who in many ways might be more at risk, might be taking more risks in some ways, and perhaps don't have a level of education around sexual health in general, including HPV, then they, you know, they should absolutely be able to access this free of charge. The assumption that we will either pay for it ourselves or be immunised by having sex with women is just, it's nonsensical. Got several friends who have discussed paying for it and buying the vaccine who don't live within this area. And, you know, because that's something that they felt passionately about, that they actually wanted to feel like they were protected from getting things like, you know, rectal cancers.
Yeah.
So there is, you know, obviously, if somebody is knowledgeable enough about it and have a sense of understanding and are able to assess their risks and are actually able to say, you know what, I'm prepared to kind of pay for this. But that is definitely the exception and not the rule. Most people will not be even aware of the fact that this even exists to be even able to go out and look about how to access it privately.
You're saying that there's a programme here in Brighton where guys can get vaccinated. Are there other programmes like that in the country?
I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question. I don't know. I know the pilot scheme in Brighton started, I think it was about a year ago or just under a year ago. They got some funding and some money through to be able to provide that vaccine. And we were, as a, you know, as a kind of level three sexual health clinic, we were able to assist in getting people into that pilot scheme. And obviously because, you know, myself and some of my colleagues are also men who have sex with men, we obviously were able to join in that pilot scheme as well. Yeah. But what's been great is that they've kept the pilot open because they've managed to source extra money. So every MSM that we come into contact with who's eligible, we can kind of push forward into that. But it is a shame. It's a shame when I have to kind of see a client who's 46, 47 and say, oh, I'm sorry, you're just outside of the window, or however they are, because I work with lots of men who have sex with men who are well into their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, who are still highly sexually active, and then to say that they're not eligible because of cost effectiveness, it seems a shame. I would definitely recommend that people speak to their local sexual health clinics for them to find out whether they do actually have a local vaccination program in their clinic, whether that's a pilot scheme or otherwise, because also they might have some advice within that sexual health clinic about how they can access it. Perhaps they might be able to pay for it privately, but then get it administered at that sexual health clinic. It's important to kind of, you know, to ask those questions. So that would definitely be my suggestion, to do that, to speak to your local sexual health clinic.
I don't know if you have any kids, Ben.
I don't, no.
But if you did have a son, would you consider planning for him to be vaccinated?
I would, definitely. I think when we think about our children, we probably extend our rounds of generosity beyond ourselves. I'd pay for my son, but not for myself. But I would absolutely do that. And what one thing that we had, it was some months ago now, and it was really, really encouraging to hear. We had a mother call in who was concerned about her son, who was in his kind of early teens, who had just disclosed that he was gay. And her concern was only about HPV. It was really interesting to have this conversation. She was obviously aware of HPV. Probably she had daughters. Maybe they had had the vaccination. She suddenly realised that her son was not going to be vaccinated against it, and he would be at risk because obviously he wouldn't be immunised in any other way. But it was really heartwarming to think that, you know, that a mother's response was around that, was around kind of health implications to her son. There was nothing else attached to that, concerns around his sexuality. We had a little warm fuzzy day that day in the office when that happened. It was nice.
So to some extent it's raised awareness.
Yeah.
The fact that girls are being vaccinated.
Absolutely.
It's raising awareness.
It is, and that's really, it's an interesting point. You know, it is kind of spoken about now, of course, because of within the culture of it existing within the kind of programme of a year within the schools. But I guess if you don't necessarily have daughters or don't necessarily have any connection, you might still not understand or know about that. You know, and again, hopefully that would be something that might be included within this new comprehensive sex and relationship education that we'll have within schools. It's certainly a part of what we were pushing for, to make sure that young people are absolutely aware of what vaccinations they should be getting, what vaccinations they can get, dependent on the type of sex they'll be having, you know. Yeah. So it has to be an inclusive approach.
Ben, any other messages you'd like to get out about HPV?
The biggest message would be to get vaccinated. If you can get the vaccine, especially if you can get it for free, go and get it done. It is nothing to get it done. If you have to pay, strongly consider paying for it if you actually really, you know, if you can afford to do that. And then just keep checking in to see if there are other ways to get it.
The issue is, it's not just about genital warts, which are, you know,
absolutely
unpleasant but aren't going to kill you, but about the number of cancers that can kill you.
The reason that you get the HPV vaccine is not to stop genital warts, it is to stop the fact that you might well get many types of cancers because of the HPV vaccine. That's the reason to do it. That should be the thrust that pushes people through the door.